I worked for many, many, many years for the state of Mississippi, and a big part of my job was working with demographic data. And I learned in that job, and of course it's much in the popular culture also, that the baby boomer generation is defined as those persons born between 1946 and 1964. So I am right squarely in the middle of that generation. I am now reading a book by a fellow baby boomer, and the name of the book is Old Age, A Beginner's Guide. It is written by someone about my age whose aging has been accelerated because of Parkinson's disease. He talks about the baby boom generation, and he says this: as they prepare inevitably to lose the game of life, which ambitions do they look back on with the most embarrassment? It is his tongue-in-cheek way of saying, how can we avoid regret as we age? Now, our Christian faith is not intended to be a how-to guide on living without regrets, or is it? If we look at both Galatians and the Gospel of Luke, I believe we do have information that serves as a guide for living without regret in this life. That formula is this: to have humility before God and to care for other people, even those unlike or beneath us. Today's Gospel gives us the story of a very powerful man who humbles himself, recognizing Jesus' authority, going to him for help. While he may not have been among Jesus' immediate followers, he clearly was a man who realized Jesus did have authority and power greater than his own. And he clearly was a person who valued other human beings, even those invisible to the power structure. The cynics would like to say of this man, of course he's asking for help for his slave, as a sick slave could cost him money and time. But the story clearly tells us, carefully tells us, that this man routinely has great concern for the people. He built their synagogue. And his humility is so great that he does not even go directly to Jesus asking for help. He asks the elders to go to Jesus on his behalf. And his request is not a selfish one. It is a request for an ailing person to be healed. He speaks on behalf of one person who has no status and no voice in the society. So is there a lesson here about regret? I believe there is. One is that, first of all, before we can get help from God, we have to admit that we ourselves cannot fix what challenges us. That is the hard part for many of us. We feel we should be self-reliant and we should be able to figure out how to do this ourselves. And so too often we go to God only when we've exhausted all of our own resources without success. Failing to trust God, we make every effort to extricate ourselves from our troubles before remembering that God is our Savior. God simply hopes that we will recognize and have access to that life-saving power, and that we will do it early in the game. Psalm 31 speaks of this, placing God in that position of power. And Psalm 31 says, in you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. We are to find our salvation, our refuge, our help in God alone. That same message appears in Galatians, that we are to find our center in God alone, and then to use the power from God to find the freedom to love others in this life. Again, it is a good formula for having no regrets. Galatians says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Pleasing people will not save me from the pain of this world. No human authority can save me from it. Nothing of this world can come ahead of God if we are truly to live a life without regrets. Galatians goes on to say, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age. I know that people in all of human history have lamented their own present evil age and seen it as irredeemable. I don't know about you, but I look at this one and think, surely this one is worse. What can and will God do? My prayer and my meditation and my worship recently have led me to ask a very unsettling question. And it is this: is it even possible to live out the gospel and the American dream at the same time? One of the commentaries on these readings says, we have to choose between our loyalty to familiar and stabilizing structures and the priority of the gospel. We have to choose. If coexistence of the two is possible, though, it comes by starting out, working hard to see even those who are far less privileged than we are. The man who came to Jesus occupied a place of real power. We may not see ourselves as having power in society, but compared to those who struggle, we must seem golden. We do have to work hard. God has given us many gifts. We're supposed to help those with less. All of them, if we can. Even persons who are not easily even part of our consciousness. Even persons who don't deserve it. It's hard to reconcile that with the American dream. But if we practice putting God first, we will recognize early that God alone has the power to save and to heal, and we recognize that we are bound to take care of people who seem unimportant, irrelevant, or unworthy if they are measured by the gauges used in our affluent society. Two simple steps, simple although they are very difficult to execute, can free us from regret. Put God first, love others on God's behalf. As a person born right in the middle of the baby boomer generation, I am to that place of wanting to know, how can I look back without regrets? Today's gospel tells me. The gospel message in general tells me. I am to give all of my troubles and my questions and my fears to Almighty God, and I am to tend those God has put in my care, all of those with less power than I have. The gospel of loving God and neighbor, even a neighbor who does have less and who is very unlike me, that is the way of living that sends me directly to what matters. And if I more often go to that place of what truly matters, I won't have to look back with embarrassment on my ambitions of earlier years. Putting God first and loving others, isn't that the core of the gospel story? The very core of the entire good news of Jesus Christ? Ultimately, then, this scripture, this book we read as Christians, becomes the one and only guide to avoid those ambitions which would later embarrass us. It becomes the one and only guide to a life lived without regret. Amen.